Invite the congregation to stand as you are able. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King, who comes to save us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated for the office hymn.
Amen.
readings from Holy Scripture, beginning with Isaiah chapter 53. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the enemy, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A reading from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to stand for the reading of the gospel from St. Matthew chapter 27. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Deliver me, O Lord, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. We speak together our summary of Christian faith and the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. We conclude our midweek Lenten services today with the theme, "The King on the Cross," in keeping with the theme of the crucified King throughout the entire season of Lent. So today we focus on the King on the cross. As you recall, last week in the readings, Jesus was mocked as the King of the Jews. He was surrounded by Gentiles as well. Today, the mockery continues as he hangs on the cross. And as he hangs there, to add insult to injury, he has continued to be derided and reviled as he suffers for our sake. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We look around ourselves in our world today, and we see everywhere signs. Signs will do lots of things for us. They convey information. They provide instructions. As I was preparing for the message today, I couldn't get rid of the song Signs from the 70s. Signs, signs, everywhere signs. The lyrics might be familiar to some of you, maybe not so much though to others. And in these lyrics, it suggests that some signs aren't necessary. They block the scenery, mess up the mind. Continuing with the lyrics of the song. When we look at the first king of Israel, Saul, and we see him, we would have never suspected that there would need to be a sign that would say, "This is Saul, king of the Jews." You would have known it by looking at King Saul. He was tall, he was handsome, he was strong, came from a wealthy family. You would simply have just taken one look at him and you would have seen the way he was dressed, the way he held himself, the way he looked, his lineage, if you will. He's a king. You could look at that and say, that's a king. He doesn't need a sign that tells us this. But we know the tragic story of King Saul. An exalted head brought down. He followed the way of another king, the world's first king, and that's Adam. And like Adam, who turned away from God, Saul also did turn away from God and his word. And so what happens? A new king is anointed, David, young shepherd. And what happens? Saul turns against David. He reviles him. He was jealous of David's popularity among the people, so much so that, as we know from Scripture, Saul went into a murderous rage. Just the presence of David or his name would invoke hostility and this violence toward him. Remember, he chased him around the countryside like a madman. He tried to pin David against the wall with a spear. David evaded him, as we know from Scripture. You see, the once exalted head eventually is cut off by the Philistines on Mount Gilboa in disgrace. Such was the plight of King Saul. Today in St. Matthew, as he records with the help of the Holy Spirit guiding him, this scene of Jesus. Jesus is considered the greater David. He's crucified and reviled on Golgotha. He is mocked. He's reviled. There's hatred and violence thrown at him and derision. The passersby, we read, wagged their heads. You can imagine. Well, if you're the king, come on down. You can just imagine how that scene would have looked. You have the chief priests, the scribes, the elders. They don't like his popularity, such that they've plotted to have him killed. And even they get to rail at his kingship and mock him. To make it even worse, two robbers who deserve to be where they are also reviling and mocking him. And so we consider ourselves as we come to worship today. And the guilt that we carry with us as sinners against God's Son, Jesus. How many times might we have questioned in our minds, "That's not fair, Lord. I deserve better." Maybe we've asked for proof You know what? Things are tough. If you love me so much, then prove it. Show me a sign. Get me out of this mess. Help me with this infirmity. Perhaps you've even been angry or bitter with God, and maybe even reviled at Him under your breath when facing the challenges and travails of life. Do you know that we too are the guilty robbers who are reviling Him? We are the guilty parties who are deriding Him and mocking Him. Consider the judgment that you and I deserve as sinners. Pastor, I wasn't there. I didn't hurl insults or beat Him. No, but as sinners, we all share in those actions as well as the judgment that we deserve to receive. But then we look at Jesus on the cross and we say, you know, we would be glad that He's there. We think of the thoughts going through His head as He fulfills the Father's will for Him, for us, in gracious and merciful love that we could never understand. You see, Jesus' thoughts aren't about getting even or making things right just because He deserves it. He was mistreated. No. His thoughts toward you and me and those who were there that day are not disgust, but pity and compassion. And in His head, the thoughts of love toward even them, yes, even them. And in doing what was necessary to save not only them, but you and me. Yes, this sign read, Jesus, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And that's a good thing because we wouldn't have identified Him as God's anointed. Since when did anybody ever point to Him and said, now there's the king. He looks like a king. No, questioning. What king dies on a cross? What king is born in Bethlehem as a child? What king is baptized in the Jordan by a crusty feller named John? The questions go on and on about the kingship and how, wait a minute, this isn't the kind of king we thought He would be. No. For many, He's the king that they never wanted or thought that we'd ever needed. I don't need that Jesus stuff. Who is this carpenter? Who is this guy? We've got Abraham. We've got the laws. We've got the old covenant. What about us in our lives? That Bible is old. Does that stuff still apply today? Was Jesus really who He said He was? But yet He is, He was, He is, and He continues to be who He said He was. Even as He sits at the right hand of God, as we can professed in the Apostles' Creed. As our mediator each and every day. And here this Jesus is hanging on the cross. He came to save you and me. And sinners, no, He's not handsome like Saul. He had no beauty that we should desire Him, as it's recorded in Isaiah 53. He set aside His kingly might to voluntarily die in weakness and disgrace. He was rich, yet for sinners' sake, He became poor, so that you and I, through His poverty, might become rich beyond compare, beyond imagination. And as He hung there on that throne of the cross, He was unrecognizable as a king, bloodied and beaten and weak. But He was just the one to do the job of taking away the sins of the world and placing them on Himself, so that God the Father recognizes us forever as the king's friend and heir to the kingdom of God as His people.
You see, Jesus is silent as he bears the persecution, the insults, the rage. The head that's lifted high on the cross hangs down and is bloody. But yet as we see that and revile as sinners and hiss and scorn, it's beautiful, folks. It's beautiful because it's for us. That cross, I belong there. You belong there. The scorners, all of the revilers, all of the people belonged on that cross. But yet here he is taking our place. Being our substitute. So we take great comfort in what's happening in this scene. For our crucified king is all about crowning you and me with glory and honor. Glory and honor. That means he must wear our anger at him like a crown of thorns. Jesus, the king, was about lifting the burden of guilt from our shoulders and shouldering it all to the cross. He stamps it out. He destroys it, that we may be seen as innocent and holy sons and daughters of God. Indeed, he heard insults and bitterness that day, but he took that so that I have the privilege as your pastor to announce to you forgiveness of sins and complete absolution for them because of his hanging on that cross for you and for me. You see, Jesus, the King, the Lord's anointed, he was persecuted, reviled, rejected, and killed, but raised again to anoint us, you and me, in baptism and to adorn you with the garments of innocence, purity, white. Think of all of the things that we don't deserve. We're embraced by God because of Christ. You see, Saul may have gone after King David with the king, soon to be King David, and missed with the spear. But there, Jesus took that spear in the side as he hung on the cross. But from that dead king, as he gives up his spirit, that life-giving water and that blood flow from him to us as we receive baptism and are washed clean of our sins, as we receive the Holy Supper here at the Lord's table. Jesus bore the sign, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." That you and I may wear the sign, "Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven forever." Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as you are able. We continue in the worship folder on page 5. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray together as our Savior has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you released many from their bondage to sin, death, and the devil as the healer of the nations. But when it came time to release you, the crowd chose a murderer instead. Through our co-crucifixion with you in the waters of our baptism, may we continually be released from our sins as we confess you to be our everlasting King. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, by the patient endurance of your only begotten Son, you beat down the pride of the old enemy. Help us to treasure rightly in our hearts what our Lord has borne for our sakes, that after his example, we may bear with patience those things that are adverse to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and merciful Father, we come today before you in the name of Jesus, praying for Pam and Dorothy, Eleanor and Les, Glenn and Sue, Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Ken, Susan, Vicky, Brenda, and all those whom we lift up to you in our hearts now silently, Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, the peace which the world cannot give, and that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We conclude with Lutheran Service Book Hymn 420, Christ, the Life of All the Living.